Earlier this month, NatureServe joined forces with Earth Rangers to launch an exciting family-friendly initiative, the Just One Tree Mission in the United States. This program aims to tackle one of the greatest threats facing our planet today, climate change. Did you know that planting just one tree can have a monumental impact? By planting just one tree in your own backyard, you are not only helping animals, but also the planet and yourself. Over 60,000 species of trees on Earth play a crucial role in providing us with food, shelter, medicine, and clean air. Yet, shockingly, 20% of tree species in the U.S. are at risk of extinction. Together, we can make a difference. Through the Just One Tree Mission, Earth Rangers and NatureServe are empowering individuals like you to become stewards of our environment. Learn about the vital role trees play in combating climate change and discover which trees are best suited for planting in your area. Download the Earth Rangers app today to sign up for the Just One Tree Mission and be part of the solution. Because when it comes to saving the planet, every action, every tree counts. Hello, everyone. For this month's installation of Conservation Conversations, I'm here with Lori Scott, and we're talking about the launch of NatureServe Explorer Pro. I'm Ann Bowser, NatureServe's Executive Vice President for Programs and Interim President. I've been here for almost 3 years, but working on questions related to environmental data, especially citizen science, for a bit longer. Lori is our Vice President for Technology and Partnerships, CIO, and interim CEO. Lori, would you like to tell us a bit more about yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Anne. So I've been with NatureServe for a couple of decades now. And that whole time I've been working on technology. Like you said, I'm our CIO and Vice President for Technology and Partnerships. So I've been through quite a journey along with our technology over those 2 decades.
That's an impressive tenure. Can you tell us what you've seen during that time?
Well, not to tell any secrets, but on the technology evolution, I've seen a lot of change. You know, that period coincides with a lot of growth in how we do technology. So when I started at NatureServe, we were just starting the transition of how we map information, transitioning from paper maps to GIS. So I got involved in the first version of our information management software that moved that mapping information into GIS. That was back in the early 2000s. Fast forward a decade or so later, and we moved from a desktop GIS to web GIS as those capabilities became more possible. And fast forward again, this year, we're making another evolution, which is moving into the cloud. So moving everything off of servers we manage to the cloud. So we're really excited about that next transition.
And who is the we that you're referring to?
So the software we build at NatureServe is first and foremost centered around our partners in the network. So NatureServe is the hub of a network of state and provincial partners throughout US and Canada. Regular listeners of the podcast have probably picked up on that fact. But we develop software that helps these partners curate the best information on biodiversity. And we're going to talk about NatureServe Explorer Pro. That's the way in which we're delivering that information out to all of our users. So the we in that equation is very much NatureServe staff and our 1,000 or so partners throughout US and Canada.
So what in a nutshell is Explorer Pro?
So NatureServe Explorer is our flagship application. A web application to get all of this information we've been curating over, 50 years as a network. out to the public. And it allows you to search for which species exist, look them up by, you know, classification and status. But it's never had an interactive map. It's never allowed you to search by the map and really dig into the spatial information in detail. That's where Explore Pro comes in. So we're extending this NatureServe Explorer system with an interactive map. You can search the map by location, and you can run a report to find out which species occur in that location. You can also dig deep into the details of the distribution for an individual species. And it's a pretty unique system in that we're really sitting on a mountain of data and a mountain of spatial information. And it's the first system that's really helping us get all that spatial information out as widely as possible.
So I can access this, right?
Yeah, this is publicly available. So if you go to NatureServe Explorer, there's a big button that'll say, you know, go to Explorer Pro, launch the system. NatureServe Explorer requires no credentials. You just freely access it without logging in. On NatureServe Explorer Pro, you will first need to create an account. It's a free account. All you need to do is give us your email address, and that allows you to register for a free account. So yes, you can use it right away.
What sort of data from the NatureServe network would I be getting through Explorer Pro in particular? How does this work?
So the mapping information in particular, it's simply put, these are locations that have been mapped in the field, confirmed sightings of species. And as a network, NatureServe and our partners, we primarily focus on at-risk species. So think about plants, animals, even fungi, things that are have a risk of extinction or a conservation concern. These are tracked by our scientists throughout the network. And they're mapped, population locations on the ground are mapped. And so these occurrences are aggregated and displayed on the map. So you can see which states and provinces a species is known to occur. And you can see these at different spatial scales. So we share data at different scales, depending on what the partners in the states and province specify. And this is a way that we can share information, for example, at really, really fine scales for species that are considered not terribly sensitive and not at high risk of being impacted by those detailed locations getting out there. But the more sensitive species, we can sort of blur the lines and share them at a coarser scale.
And that's actually one of my favorite features of Explorer Pro as a longtime open data enthusiast. I love that NatureServe is managing to walk that line between making information as open and available as we ethically can, while also protecting sensitive species. And we're doing it all in partnership with the network, who are local experts on the species in their jurisdiction. So you talked about how the element occurrence is a way of the network sharing with NatureServe and with biodiversity conservation professionals around the world where these species are known to be, but people also find value in understanding where species might be, even if we don't absolutely know that they're there yet. How does Explorer Pro meet this particular need?
So we have, as a network, developed techniques for modeling the predicted habitat for species. So we have taken those best available documented occurrences and combined them with hundreds of very fine scale predictor layers, environmental predictor layers, things like soil, temperature, precipitation, elevation. Things that can tell us the signature of where species have been confirmed to occur, and then extrapolate, that's not the technical term, but using modeling software, we can predict where else is the very highly likely suitable habitat. So those models are available in Explorer Pro. Currently, they're available for our partners in federal agencies and other other groups that have a license to access these very precise scale habitat models. But soon we'll be making available to all users these models at appropriate scales. So these really help fill in the white space on the map of where we may not yet have a confirmed surveyed location for a species.
I think that's pretty exciting. The other thing I'm super psyched about is open data. And this release is really not the first time, but a really great opportunity to highlight the value of open biodiversity data in Canada, especially. Can you say a few words about that?
Yeah. So NatureServe Explorer Pro is really helping our partners in Canada at NatureServe Canada meet the mandate in Canada for open data sharing. So it is providing a clearinghouse, if you will, for the best available biodiversity data of the NatureServe network in Canada, but it's also integrating observation data from hundreds of other data providers. And this is expanding on the data from our own network, filling in taxonomic or geographic gaps in our data. These include citizen science data from iNaturalist or other data that's been provided into a clearinghouse called GBIF, Global Biodiversity Information Facility. There's dozens, hundreds of other data providers' data that has been curated and integrated into the system. And so it really, it can provide you, you know, our users with a much more complete picture of what's happening in a given location.
So I know that this is a little bit in the future, but do you think that the work we're doing in Canada is laying the groundwork for more work with open data in the US as well? Is that something that might be on the roadmap for Explorer Pro in the future?
I do hope so, yes. So I know, you know, many of our partners in the NatureServe network, not only in Canada, but in the US, are bringing more and more data from these other systems like iNaturalist into their purview. So we are excited about building more capabilities to help our partners bring these data together with our network data, and whether it comes through those state and provincial partners or directly to NatureServe. I think there's a couple of different avenues where we've laid the groundwork with what we've done in Canada with these observation data to expand that throughout North America. Yep.
That's super exciting and also timely, because I know that iNaturalist has recently reached a new level of independence, and we'll talk more with them about what that means at our upcoming Biodiversity Without Boundaries or BWB conference. What else is coming for Explorer Pro?
Well, yeah, we're really excited about this release we're launching. But of course, there's more capabilities in our roadmap that we're hearing requests from our users, what they'd like to see. A few capabilities that are in the near term horizon. Some expanded ways for users to download the data they're viewing on Explorer Pro is one improvement, and that will allow those users who have more advanced desires to integrate the data, analyze the data in their own system, combine it with their own data. I touched on it briefly earlier when we were talking about habitat maps or habitat models, is the ability to share those models at appropriate scales to all public users, so that when users will run a report for a place, they will learn not only which species we've documented to occur there, but also which species we predict are likely to occur there. And those models will have included in them a confidence rating, as well as an indication of the probability that that location is suitable. So we show these models as a categorical result in terms of high, medium, or low probability of suitable habitat.
I love that we do this too. Not a lot of people geek out about metadata, but I would imagine that many of those who do might actually be listening to the podcast. And we put a lot of steps in place to make sure that people who access species habitat models also have that contextual information to understand how the model can be appropriately used. So I'm hoping that a lot of our listeners are going to sign up for that Free Explorer Pro account after we sign off today, if they haven't already done so. Who else is using this really important tool?
Well, we have a lot of different types of users, but a couple of examples. In the US, we have a number of federal partners who are using the tool. We've shared data with federal partners for years, but it's often been a bit more of a cumbersome data sharing process. So we're excited with Explorer Pro to make that a lot more seamless, where we can, you know, digitally provide access through a subscription to Nature Explorer Pro. Those partners can log in and access their licensed data set instantly. So we've got agencies like the U.S. Forest Service or the BLM, you know, many federal agencies manage land, and accessing our data helps them better understand what's on those lands and inform their planning and management activities. We've also got users in the private sector who, for example, are complying with voluntary standards like the Sustainable Forestry Initiative. So they can run place-based reports through Explorer Pro, understand which species are documented or predicted to occur on those lands, and help them comply with those sustainable forestry standards.
So basically, anybody who wants to use area-based reporting to make land management and stewardship decisions.
Yes. Or even academics and other researchers want to understand the most they can about a particular species or taxonomic group, because we have the place-based reporting, but we also have tools to explore an individual species range and habitat model as well.
Yes, we do. So my last question, we started this podcast by hearing about this cool journey from paper maps through GIS and into the future. As NatureServ's CIO, Vice President for Technology and Partnerships, what are you most excited about when you think about the benefits of emerging technologies to advance biodiversity conservation?
Well, there's a lot of things I'm excited about. I mentioned that we're about to move the last of our systems that are not already on the cloud into the cloud. So that's going to help us just in terms of focusing our attention on making our systems more efficient and not worrying about, you know, replacing hard disks. Once we're in the cloud, there's so many new capabilities on the horizon. AI, everybody's talking about AI. So I'll hit on that one, for example. The modeling that we were just talking about, predictive habitat modeling, that's a form of AI, the machine learning that is used in these model software. But there's other pieces of how we work that are somewhat labor intensive. We have to pay a lot of attention to having a shared language so that we can harmonize data across all of US and Canada. So we care about taxonomy, which is a somewhat arcane topic, but it's labor intensive to do that. Let me just leave it there. And we really see a lot of potential in reducing the effort involved in, you know, the staff time involved in how we do that. We rely on information from literature searches and, you know, Google searches, and we know there's natural language processing that can speed that up. Similarly, we work hard to be as accurate as we can on assessing the risk that each species and ecosystem faces for extinction or collapse. So those conservation status assessments, the ranking we do, it's another labor-intensive process. And we see really great potential there for AI as well to speed up the rate at which we can do those assessments. And that will mean that the data we're providing through Explorer Pro and our other tools will be as up to date and accurate as it can be. So we're very excited about that. You know, doing more quickly, more efficiently means we can just turn our attention to more and more conservation challenges in the future.
I love that dream. Well, thank you very much for talking with me today about Explorer Pro, and I look forward to working together on the next couple iterations.
Me too. Thanks for the chance to talk it out and share our news with all of the podcast listeners.
Thanks, everyone.